Hey church, we want to welcome you to another inspirational message from Manukau New Life. We hope you enjoy and have a great day. Be blessed.
Good morning, it's so good to be here with you again. There is a spirit of death at work in the world today. It wants to extinguish your passion, it wants to kill your life, quench your spirit, and suppress your future. Through fear, worry, anxiety and debt and uncertainty about the future. But I want to tell you this morning that he who lives inside of you and me is greater than he that is in the world. And the Christian faith is framed, it's founded upon this principle of rebirth. Jesus overcame death and he wants to bring that new life to us. So I want to talk to you about two things today. The first thing is this, that you and I need to learn to keep our hearts in peace. I want to share with you how to do that. And the second thing is that we can begin to walk towards the new future that God has for us. And so God wants to make a way for us. He wants to make a way in the middle of whatever crisis we are in at the moment. He wants to make a way for you and I. He is the life-bringing God. He brings us into that new life. So would you bow your heads and pray with me today as we prepare our hearts for this word. Holy Spirit, I welcome you here into this place where I am preaching the word, into every room, every space that somebody is listening to this word today, God. Right now, I pray that every distraction from the enemy would be stopped in Jesus' name. And I pray that our hearts and our ears would be unblocked to receive the word that you want to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want to talk about today is our hearts. Our hearts. How's your heart? King Solomon, when he was talking to his son, he said, above all, guard your heart. Keep your heart. Now when King Solomon, who was known for his wisdom, says above all else, make this the first priority. Make it the most important thing you do with your life. Our ears need to prick up. We need to say, okay, wow, this is important. I need to tune in right now. I need to listen to this because I want to know what is so important that he said above all else. What would that be? So he says this, above all, I'm reading this in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do in life flows from it. Keep your mouth from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead. I want to talk about that in a moment. For your gaze and your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths that your feet walk in and be steadfast in all your ways. That is brilliant advice. But it's tricky to do, right? Guard your heart. I mean, this heart thing is a bit tricky. So above all else, guard your heart. The New King James Version says this, keep your heart. In the Bible, this word heart, it means not just our emotions, but it means our thought life. The word heart's used hundreds of times through the Bible, and about 200 times it refers to our thought life, and our emotions. Our thoughts we're thinking that are driving our emotions. So King Solomon is saying here, above all else, guard your thought life. Think about what you're thinking about. That's some good advice right there. And so if you were to tell me what you were thinking about, I could tell you what your future will be like. See, what you think about is so important. If you think that you're dumb, then I can tell you what your future is going to be like. If you think you're ugly, I can tell you what your future is going to be like. If you think that nobody wants you, then I can tell you that you're going to walk around as somebody who believes nobody wants them and you're going to behave in a certain way. But Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. What does that look like? I want you to come with me. Come with me. This, I think, kind of illustrates the point of what I'm trying to say today. Coming down the hallway down here and out here. Yeah, we're going to... This is our deck, by the way. This is our deck. So over here, over here is a garden. This is the pastor's garden. We'll check the pastor's garden out. But we had a drought recently. Some of the plants still kind of struggling a little bit there. I built this garden a little while ago, redid it, and put some weed mat down and put some rocks on it, make it look nice. And I planted some nice plants, but you know something I've noticed about the garden? If you don't keep it, if you don't look after it, those weeds, they still come up. They still find a way to get into the garden. They just pop up everywhere. These little weed things coming up, and you gotta keep the garden just the same way that King Solomon said you have to keep your heart. You have to guard your heart, because out of it flow all the issues of life. This garden here is like my heart. It's like your heart. And little seeds, words, somebody says, come along and try to take root in your heart. Worry about your future. Worry about your finances. Worry about the economy. Worry about all this sort of stuff. It comes along. Those weeds of anxiety and fear try to sow themselves inside of your heart and my heart. And you and I, we can either accept that, we can let those weeds start growing up till they become these giant bushes that are just weeds of fear, worry, bitterness, or we can get in there and we can, look, there's one right there. We can say, hey, I'm going to pull that sucker out, throw it away. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to be filled with fear and worry. That's what keeping your heart looks like. And when we do that, our lives start to move in the direction God wants us to move in. Let me give you this verse while we're here. It's the Apostle Paul's words on this. He talked about it in Philippians 4. He talked about how to guard your heart as well. He said this, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, listen to this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, that's amazing, isn't it? The peace of God, wow, will guard your hearts. In other words, when you pray, when you're thankful, when you present your petitions to God, He sends down His peace by the power of the Holy Spirit to guard your heart. He sends His peace down to guard my garden, to keep it free of weeds and junk and all sorts of fear and anxiety. That's incredible that instead of worrying about stuff, let's start praying about stuff. Instead of being fearful and anxious, let's lift up a petition to heaven. And as we do that, the peace of God will come and invade our hearts and help us to be a people who are not living in fear, but are living in His goodness and His joy. Let's go back inside for the second part. So just wrapping up that last point, I want to say this. Someone once said, if you sow a thought, you reap a deed. If you sow a deed, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. In other words, the thoughts that we think will take us towards the destiny we live with our lives. So important that we keep our hearts and our minds filled with the peace of God, that we don't actually get caught up in all the fear that's going around us. I want to talk about my second point today, which is this. Fix your eyes. Let us fix our gaze straight ahead. There's this thought in Proverbs chapter 4. Let me just find it here again, where Solomon's talking, and he says this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Let me just talk a little bit about those last two thoughts there, about keeping your eyes fixed straight ahead and pondering the path of your feet. These two flow out of a good heart. You know, I remember when I was in my teenage years working up with my dad. He was building a high-rise building down in Khyber Pass. And one of the jobs he got me to do was to get out on the outside of the building on one of those lifts that goes up and down and washed the windows at the end. And I still remember that. We're outside on these on this lift, and you know what you didn't want to do is look down. And at one point, I remember one point, because you push the one button to the lift take you up, another button for it to go down, right? But this lift had an automatic leveling system in it. And I remember when I pushed the button, and instead of both sides going down, one side started going down and the other side started going up, and it was leveling itself out. But I didn't know that. I just freaked out and grabbed the side of the thing, and I'm like, where are we going here? And what you don't want to do right there is look down. Because you look down, it's about like 6-7 stories down, and you're like, ah! You want to keep your eyes straight ahead. As long as you don't look down, that's what they say, don't look down, look up, look up, look where you're going. I want to talk to us today a little bit about our eyes, about keeping our eyes looking straight ahead. You know, when we are controlled by fear, when we are controlled by anxiety, what happens is that we tend to just see the now. We can only look at today. We don't look at the future that God has for us. And we tend to just, in a crisis, many of us just sort of kind of go into this hole. We go into this sort of place of like, I can't cope. We want to curl up and cry. But God wants you and I to stand up and to actually lift our eyes up and look forward. There's a story, we've read it many times, but it's in Luke chapter 19. A nobleman, it goes like this. A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he calls together 10 of his servants, and he gives each of them some money, and he says, this is for you to invest while I am gone. And his people hated him, and so they sent a delegation after him. We don't want him to be our king. Now, here's something we might not have ever noticed in the story before, but these 10 servants got the talents, and they were to use them and invest them. But in the middle of that story, there's a crisis. There's some trouble that breaks out. There's a whole thing going on in the kingdom where everything's in an uproar and a problem. What do you do in a crisis? What do you do with the talent that you've been given? Do you invest it? Do you hide it? Do you keep it? What do? Do you lock it down? Well, some of them invested it and got a return. One guy, though, when the king came back, he had taken the talent and he had hid it in the ground. He put it in the ground and he did nothing with it. I want to tell you today that God doesn't want you and I in the middle of a crisis to hide our talents in the ground. He doesn't want us to just curl up and get afraid and hoard and hold on to stuff. He wants us to look up, to see opportunities. Be wise. We are in the middle of a crisis. We're in a crisis that's still unfolding. It's a crisis not only of health, but it's a crisis of the economy and a whole bunch of things. But God doesn't want us to just be like that guy who hid his talent in the ground. You've got a talent. You've got a gift. You've got an ability. You've got the ability to, you know, do something with your life. God has given each one of us giftings. What are you doing with that? Are you hiding it in a hole right now? Or are you using it? Are you doing something with it new? I believe God wants you and I to look forward into the future, to look forward into where things are going and say, okay, where's this thing going in 10 months' time? Where's it going in a couple of years' time? Where is this going to unfold? And start to be innovative. Have some resilience. Start to think, how can I actually develop my talent and my gifting? Maybe God wants you to start a Facebook business. I don't know. There'd be a new way. And, you know, if you looked at what we're doing right now as a church, in my lounge, there's sound gear, there's music gear, there's cameras, there's lights. We had to innovate. We had to reinvent ourselves. We had to re-engineer how we're doing church. Many of us are learning how to do Zoom Connect groups, how to meet one another online. We've had to learn all of these new skills. See, here's the thing. The enemy always tries to bring death and destruction, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mantra. That's what he's all about. But God is always turning death into life. He's always bringing something new out of all of this. So I believe as Christians and as New Zealanders, we are so well positioned for this day. You know why? New Zealanders, we have this saying, number eight wire. I don't know if you've heard that saying before, but that actually is a part of our heritage that as Kiwis, we know how to be innovative. Back in the early days, when we were a new nation, there was a long, long way to get resources from Europe by boat or whatever. So Kiwis learn how to fix things using a number eight wire. They learn how to fix the car, how to be innovative. And that's part of our heritage. So we're set up for this. We know how to get around problems in a creative way. In fact, I heard this story this week of a really interesting New Zealand company. They were called Snap Rentals. And they realized at the start of this this whole crisis that they weren't going to be able to rent any cars. They had all these cars there and they didn't know how to rent. They weren't going to be renting cars. Nobody's going to be renting a car, right, when everyone's in lockdown. So they, in 21 days, they reinvented themselves as a delivery service, rebranded their business as Snap Deliveries. So they used their staff and their assets to go and deliver groceries to people's homes. And so they rebranded their entire business, their whole strategy. That's great. That's people who are being innovative. And that's who we are as Kiwis. Maybe you need to be innovative in your context. Maybe you need to think outside the box a little bit. This is a good time to sit down and think, how do I do this going forward? And so as Christians as well, you know, as believers, we're used to God wanting to transform our thinking. God's always been changing me. He's always been moving me forward. He's always been challenging things about my heart and my mind and who I am and saying, come on, I need you to shift that. I need you to change that. So I think as believers, we are well positioned for the future. We're not living in fear. We're not living in anxiety. We are living with the peace of God in our heart and we are looking forward to the future, trusting God and saying, God, re-engineer me, redo this thing within me. You are the God of rebirth. You can bring new life out of what was dead. And so I just want to speak that into your heart and life today and believe God will do that with you. Let me just finish by praying for you this morning. I want to specifically pray for people today that are really feeling burdened down with worry. You're worried about the future. You don't know what that's going to look like. I just want to encourage you as I pray, if you would just take that worry in your hands, maybe just lift it up to the Lord right now. Come on, why don't we all do that together? Just lift our hands to God. Father, I just pray for each person that's listening to this message. If there is any worry, if there is any anxiety, God, I command your peace to flow into their hearts right now where they are in that room, right where they are in that place. God, I speak peace into their hearts, Lord. Let the peace of God invade their hearts, invade their lives. Lift off the anxiety, lift off the fear, lift off the worry, God. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but Lord, you said you would guard our hearts with perfect peace. Perfect peace, Lord. Let your peace come, Holy Spirit, and just flood their heart right now. Flood their heart. I just declare innovation. I declare new ideas. I declare new thoughts are coming. I declare, Lord, that you are going to cause them to lift their eyes up and see the way forward, Lord. See that you are with them, that they can trust in you, God, that your hand is for them, that you are a good, good God. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're going to carry us through this and that we're going to come out in a whole new way, better than when we went in, Lord, because that's the way that you do things. In Jesus' name, amen.